this is your Polycast for Thursday, January 5th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, Governor Dayton releases a bonding plan. Health care is shaping up as a major issue for the legislature. Governor Mark Dayton has proposed a $1.5 billion public works spending bill that he wants the legislature to approve as soon as possible. Public Works bonding bill failed to clear the legislature in the final minutes of the 2016 session. Dayton told reporters on a conference call yesterday that low interest rates mean lawmakers should act now.
This is catch-up, and that's why it's so vital to be done in this first month of the legislative session in January, so that these projects, which have already been approved, most of which have already been approved by the House and by the Senate, can be ready to go when construction season begins.
Dayton's proposal includes upgrades to the Minnesota Security Hospital in St. Peter, several improved rail grade crossings and local bridge repairs, water projects, and campus repairs. Republican Senator Dave Senjum of Rochester says he's willing to look at the governor's plan, but he thinks it's a little strong. Senjum, who chairs the Senate Capital Investment Committee, said there's never been a bonding bill that large.
Whatever bill happens during the course of this session is going to probably be pared back somewhat significantly from that. It doesn't mean that there's not good projects out there, and whatever in the bill is not a good project. It's, I think, just a matter of the fiscal nature of that kind of a bill in terms of the size of it, and we're probably just not going to go that high.
There's no word yet on when Republicans might have a plan of their own. Meanwhile, Minnesota House and Senate Republicans are ready to announce their plan for helping people hit by rising health insurance costs. Republican leaders will hold a news conference this morning to outline the legislation they call the Health Care Emergency Aid and Access Act. During a Minnesota Chamber of Commerce event last night, House Speaker Kurt Dowd said one bill will provide short-term relief, similar to what Governor Mark Dayton proposed this week. Dowd said a second bill will make long-term changes.
This is a big deal for a lot of Minnesotans, and it's not just the money. It's not just throw some money at premium relief, and I think we need to be reaching out further and recognizing that people are hurt more than just by the premiums. They can't get to the doctor they're seeing right now, and those are broken promises.
Dowd said he wants the House to pass the initial health care bill by the end of next week. Republican Senate Majority Leader Paul Gazelka said he expects to take a little more time on the legislation. Earlier this week, I talked to two of the people in the Senate who will be working on health care. Senator Michelle Benson is a Republican from Ham Lake, who's the new chair of the Health and Human Services Committee, and Tony Laurie of Carrick is the former chair of the committee. I asked Senator Benson for an outline of the Republican plan.
We wanted the rebates and reforms. We'll continue to talk about rebates and reforms. It's nice that we're actually all back in the same place. We can have reasonable, thoughtful discussions. Yes, I do feel a great sense of urgency to get help to those people who are having their businesses put at risk by having to pay for insurance on the individual market. I understand, but I also know that we need to make some changes in the market or we don't solve this problem long term. And I think now that we're all in the same place and we can sit down and have conversations, things can move relatively quickly, but we're not going to do things in the dark, out of the public eye. We're going to move expediently.
And Senator Laurie, are you fairly optimistic that you can get this, at least the spiking premiums, solved fairly quickly?
Well, I mean, it's going to be up to the incoming majority to see how quickly we can move. But I was with the governor this morning and, I talked with Senator Benson about it as well, and put the rebate package, such as it was at the end of the negotiations, but other items sort of got in the way of the 25% reduction in the premiums. And I do think that we should move on that very quickly, and I'm hopeful that we can come to some agreement to do that and provide Minnesotans the additional supports to get there. I need to remind people that open enrollment does continue until, you know, through January 31st. And so working quickly so that people have the certainty about what the end result of their premium is going to be is of great urgency. But then there are additional reforms that are needed for medium-term and long-term fixes as well.
And the governor's plan for that 25% premium rebate, he set aside $300 million for that, for a little more than 100,000 people Senator Benson, that's a lot of money, isn't it?
$300 million is a lot of money, and I think that's why you hear rebate and reform coupled. We don't want to just spend money without making some decisions that would impact the market long term, help people for 2018, not just 2017. And so we're going to have really thoughtful discussions, something that your listeners might know, but I just want to be very clear. Senator Lori and I work together on human services issues. We've been on probably every healthcare task force that has been constituted in the last 6 years. This is an insurance problem. This isn't going to run through human service committees. This will go through commerce. But we have had the privilege of working on broader health care and health coverage discussions. And so I think that puts us in this very special place of having a longer view, understanding how much $300 million is, what you can do with $300 million if it's used prudently. And so we're not going to do knee-jerk reactions. We're going to move expediently, but we need to see some changes for that amount of money as well.
Well, let me ask you about that because, of course, you have the Republican Congress, which has pledged to repeal Obamacare, and you have the incoming President Trump, who said pretty much the same thing. Does that create a lot of uncertainty about what you will do here, and how do you work around that? How much does that complicate what you have to do?
Try carrying a glass of water walking on a trampoline, and that's kind of what it feels like right now. There is some certainty, but we don't know when the changes are coming, what else is sort of going to get thrown into the mix. I have some confidence and hope that the Secretary of Human Services coming in has a longer view. It's not, let's get this done by February 1st and pull the rug out from under the states. Speaker Ryan has been thoughtful about the impact that his budget decisions make on the states. He is aware of what that could do to the states. And then Vice President Pence was one of the states that adopted MA expansion. And so as much as people might want things to move quickly in Washington, there is no magic that makes this happen, and we're going to have to see what happens to the state of Minnesota. But my hope is that there will be thoughtful process in Washington.
And Senator Lori, let me ask you, will Democrats go along with this as the Republicans in Washington, and it was such a campaign issue, will you go along with this and try to fix this thing?
Well, it sort of depends on what this is. I mean, there's been a lot of rocks thrown. There's been a lot of saying we need to trash this. There's not been a lot of talk about what should replace it. I mean, to tell you the truth, to just delay it probably does spell the absolute demise of the individual market. I don't think carriers are going to come forward and continue offering products in a delayed marketplace that needs some structural reforms. And so one of the things to understand about healthcare is, in the U.S., healthcare is incredibly expensive. And the thing that needs to be done is to make sure that there are subsidies for people who can't afford access to our really quality health care services. I mean, through some of these reforms, Minnesota has made it to the point where we have 96% of our population covered. That is the largest percent we've ever had. It's less than half of the uninsured that we've ever experienced, and it's major progress. Okay. I hope that the reforms that we have don't degrade some of that progress and that we're able to move forward together. And I can assure you that Senator Benson and I will be talking with each other and comparing notes and working collaboratively, certainly behind the scenes and working together to try to find solutions that can work for all of us.
Senator Benson, let me ask you one quick one here at the end. It seems like with all the political rhetoric on the campaign trail, it's kind of built up the expectations that everybody should have insurance. Everybody, it should be cheap. You should be able to see whatever doctor you want. It should be affordable. A pre-existing condition shouldn't matter. Doesn't that kind of get to be impossible after a while?
And insurance is a math problem. And Senator Lori is right. We have really good care. It costs money. But something that Senator Lori and I have both encountered in committees, a large percentage of the cost of care can be managed by the individual. There are chronic illnesses. We have to start having really honest conversations. If we want to bend the cost curve, we have to have people engaged in their health care. It can't just be, I'm going to show up at the doctor has all the answers, and the insurance company pays for it. And that's hard talk, but I met with a group of doctors last night. They know that as much as Senator Lurie and I know that, and as much as your listeners intuitively understand, when there is a crisis, there needs to be coverage, but we also need to be taking early responsibility for our own care and be smart consumers. And so some of the reforms I think that we could agree on going forward is, how do we get more transparency on pricing? How do we let consumers engage and understand what an MRI actually costs? I believe Minnesotans and Americans are smart, and we're going to make good decisions when we have information.
That's Republican Senator Michelle Benson of Ham Lake and DFL Senator Tony Lurie of Carrick talking with me about plans for health care this session. And finally, it's been a quarter century since the Minnesota Senate last had a doctor among its members. This week, two were sworn in, one a Democrat and one a Republican. Their real-world experience could come in handy with health care shaping up as a big issue before the legislature. Brian Baxt has more.
Republican Scott Jensen is 62. He comes from a conservative district in Chaska and is a family practice doctor with his own clinic. DFLer Matt Klein is 49. He lives in Mendota Heights and works at a big city hospital. Both won open Senate seats last fall. Freshman lawmakers often hang back in the early going to get a better sense of how the legislature works. But these two say they'll dive right in, given the session's spotlight on health care. Jensen will be vice chair of a key Senate health policy committee, putting him right in the thick of negotiations over MnSure.
I absolutely expect to have a seat at the table.
He says he's witnessed the ill effects stemming from state and federal law changes.
I mean, I can really tell you what it means to have a relationship with a physician who helped diagnose your diabetes and get you up and running for the last 10 years, and then all of a sudden you find out you can't see me anymore. And you got to go see some Joe Schmo who buries his head in the middle of a computer screen. And when you walk out of the doctor's room, the exam room, you think, what just happened in there?
Issues of doctor choice and access are likely to be key, along with the cost of insurance. The clinic Jensen founded is in Watertown. He says he'll still see patients on a daily basis before coming into St. Paul, and on weekends. Medicine runs in the family for Jensen. His daughter is an anesthesiologist at Hennepin County Medical Center. That's where Matt Klein makes his rounds. He sees patients who are being admitted for acute illnesses. Klein is also on committees that deal with healthcare issues. He says he doesn't profess to be an expert in insurance policy, but he knows medicine.
What other people maybe know out of facts or briefing papers, I know from my night shifts, you know, three times a week in a very personal way. And so I think I'll bring some passion to the discussion.
Klein works at the state's biggest safety net hospital. He says that's exposed him to patients who are as worried about their medical bills as they are about their condition. He shares the story of a drywaller who had put off care despite coughing up blood for months. Klein says a chest x-ray revealed a large tumor.
And, you know, the first thing he asked me was whether he could get back to work on Friday because he couldn't pay for the chest x-ray I had ordered. He couldn't pay for the hospital stay that he had incurred and certainly couldn't pay for any treatments that I was planning to order.
Klein says it stuck with him as a vivid example of why expansions of Medicaid and access to affordable insurance are important. That's not to say he doesn't see a need for change. He says he wants to look at incentives to hospitals and clinics inherent in the healthcare system that emphasize the number of people seen over whether they get better. Like Scott Jensen, Klein says he'll keep working at the hospital a couple nights a week, in part because it keeps him grounded, and he has five children to put through college. Jensen and Klein say they've already met several times and plan to get together weekly during the session to chew over ideas. Here's Senator Jensen.
Hopefully if Matt Klein, a hospitalist and a Democrat at Hennepin County, and Scott Jensen, a rural family doc and a conservative from Carver County, if we can build bridges and really listen to each other and hear the value in each other's ideas, then hopefully we can serve as some sort of a model for the Republicans and Democrats to make sure they're really listening to one another, because not all of this stuff is partisan.
And now Senator Klein.
The fact that both of us are both in the Senate at the same time is fortuitous, and hopefully we can find some common ground.
The last doctor to serve in the Senate was a psychiatrist who left office in 1991. The House saw its last doctor depart in 2003. Everyone just called him Doc. As for Klein, he says he prefers Matt. Covering politics, I'm Brian Baxt, Minnesota Public Radio News, at the Capitol.
And that's your Polycast for this Thursday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom.